All right, welcome everybody to Lecture 4 in this American History program for the junior and senior high class with History at Our House. We are continuing our first theme of the year, which is a survey, I guess you could say, of the world that we live in for the clues, for the challenges, for the mysteries, for the features of that world that we can observe around us, which give rise to the types of questions that history should answer. That give rise to the type of question that history is supposed to answer. So it's very interesting because history, I don't know if some of you are aware of this, but history was invented as a science. It was invented in ancient Greece. And the ancient Greeks, when the first historians thought of doing this, when they said, what we need to do is we need to study the past of the world that we live in, that's exactly what their premise was. In fact, it's hard to choose one person that invented history because there were a number of Greek thinkers that were responsible for it arriving. But Herodotus is maybe one that you guys might have heard of. I don't mind bringing him up just for the sake of a good visual. So let me just get Wikipedia and I'll bring up Herodotus and I'll share that with you. All right, because he's one of my heroes. So you already know about Socrates and you know about Aristotle. So I'm going to tell you about another one of my heroes, Herodotus. Let me share my desktop with you guys. So here he is, Herodotus of Halicarnassus. So definitely one of, if not perhaps the first historian. Truly, he was given the name the father of history by a later Roman thinker. And he wrote a very famous history. It's still read today by people who want to know more about the ancient world. And what Herodotus said was, the point of doing this, the point of collecting all of this information, and he called what he was doing inquiries. The point, and I love this, because what he's saying is, we are human beings and we want to understand the world we live in. So what we do is we inquire. We interrogate. We ask questions of the world that we are in. And there are a lot of different ways that we can do that and different approaches that we can take. We can inquire about the world in a natural sense. We can pursue science and natural philosophy. We can inquire about the world in a different sense. And so we can become philosophers like Socrates or Aristotle. We can inquire about the world and ask questions about it in the sense of, how did it come to be the particular way that it is? And that is what history is for. Especially when we are interested in what people have done to make the world into the way that it is. So that's what Herodotus was about. That's what the Greeks were interested in learning when they invented history. They wanted to understand the world that they lived in. And so that is also what we should do. That is also our aim in studying history, is to understand the world that we live in. Now, the world that we live in is very different than the world that Herodotus lived in. One of the things that Herodotus was dealing with at the time when he wrote his history was that a new kind of connection was arising in the world of ancient Greece. The people of ancient Greece were connected to one another, but they were becoming connected to another people. Does anybody know what story I'm talking about in particular, or what other ancient peoples might have been, kind of the ancient Greeks would have been coming into contact with in Herodotus' time? Just a second, I'm going to turn off that annoying hand-raising function, and maybe it will go away from now on. It's not supposed to make a noise. But anyway, Alexander, go ahead.
The Persians?
The Persians, indeed. People from quite far away. So if we go over here to a topic in Wikipedia called the Greco-Persian Wars, we will see, a Persian warrior and a Greek warrior. Oh, we're going to see a certain kind of connection occurring between them. I'm trying to get a map here. Apologize for the screen scrolling. Okay. Well, yeah, this is so-so as far as maps go, but it's better than none, right? So ancient Greece was over here. Let me just put, right, a rectangle around ancient Greece. And so this was the Persian Empire. The Greeks and the Persians were becoming connected for the first time. And that connection consisted of conflict. The ancient Persians wanted to create they had already created a vast empire. They'd conquered Egypt. They'd conquered what we call Mesopotamia. They'd conquered this entire region. This is about the size of the United States right here. So they were great imperialists, and the Greeks didn't want to be in their empire. And so the connection that arose between the Greeks and the Persian was, and the Persians, was war. It's a form of connection. In case you hadn't thought of it that way. Right? And so we've been studying connections too. Right? And so that's what Herodotus was talking about. He was saying, we have a connection. We're Greeks. We live in a world. That world is bigger than us. We need to understand it better. And here we have this huge connection that has come into being, which is a giant war between us and other people. Why? Why are we where we are? How did this come to be the connection that we have? Right? So that was what he was investigating. Those were his inquiries were all about, was why is this the type of connection that we have? And how did this world of ours get to be the way that it is? Well, that's kind of what I was encouraging you to start to do as you made your personal world map connections. So I'm having trouble getting rid of a really annoying hand-raising sound. But anyway, Bria, go ahead.
What's that word that is on the link?
Achaemenid map based to an inscription?
What is that?
It's not relevant to our particular context. So it would take too long to explain. So that we talk about that in ancient history. All right, one quick answer. The Behistun inscription is an ancient inscription on a mountain face in Iran where there's different languages written on the rocks that help us to understand what happened in ancient times, okay? To decipher the languages of the ancient world. All right, quick answer. All right, now continuing on, though, the maps that I asked you to make were very... I'm going to use the Herodotus as an adjective. The maps I asked you to make were very Herodotean. Good one. Herodotean is in the following sense, that... what I was asking you to do was to think about the world that you live in and look for connections. Inquire into that world. So here's a good example. Timothy's map. Timothy went beyond just the 10, right? But he did a nice job of seeking out, I don't know, all these connections. And so he's got some pretty cool stuff, right? So he's traveled to Australia. That was a connection for him. And he also has some bowls that are from Japan. I'm sure they are very beautiful. The craftsmanship of Asian craftsmen can be quite remarkable and different. And he says, we have a car from Germany in our family. We have furniture from IKEA, which is from Sweden, right? So, you know, everybody probably knows about IKEA, which comes from Sweden. Okay, good one, right? And then there's other stuff out there. And everybody had kind of their own version of this assignment. I think this was, where was Micah's here? This was Micah's. All right, so Micah made a map. He didn't want it to be too cluttered. But, you know, he has plates from China. His family is from Israel, and his dad has traveled to Brazil and stuff like that, right? Okay, so So again, the connections that we have, the kind of world that we live in, and here's going to be the key word for today's lecture. The kind of world that we live in is very different from the world that Herodotus lived in. Stay focused, guys. The kind of world that we live in is different from the world that Herodotus lived in a variety of ways. And one of them is the scope of the connections that we have to everybody else in the world. In other words, the global nature of our lives. The fact that when we draw diagrams like this, we connect to everything else. Our connections are global. So we're going to talk about this type of world that we live in, which is a reflection of something that has happened, and it happened a long time after Herodotus. So he didn't have to contend with this, but we do. The process I'm talking about is globalization. We live in a world in which globalization has occurred, which means our way of life has gone from being localized to being globalized, to being connected to everybody else in a lot of different ways. And so the key word that we're going to pursue in relation to this degree of connectivity is the following. Interconnected. That's the key word for today's lecture, interconnected. So let's start with, interconnected is a good concept. It has two parts to it. And it's very revealing when we study the roots of a word, when we study the parts of a word. It can be very revealing about the meaning of that word. And it has these two parts, right? The first part is the prefix, and inter. And the second part is the main part of the word, connected. So let's talk about the main part of the word for a second. Give me a definition, or at least some synonyms of the concept connected. Or its root concept, connection. What are we talking about when we say that something is connected? Real question. Okay, Bria, go ahead.
It's like, kind of like, if you have like a boyfriend and a girlfriend, they like hold hands, so it's like you're making a connection between two different things that are completely opposite.
Well, connections don't necessarily involve opposites. But what we need here is synonyms or other words that are similar to the concept connect. So we have to watch out about using the same word in our definition. Okay, so Juliet, please.
They're like sort of attached.
Okay, attached is a good synonym for connected. Right, so they become, as you say, Bria, if somebody's holding hands with somebody else, they become physically attached to that other person by choice, right? They're touching, physically touching. All right, Alexander?
Joined.
Joined, okay. Another word for that would be linked. Can anybody come up with some other further synonyms? We don't have to be physically joined, right? If you have a family member, right, you're not necessarily physically connected to them, but you still have what? What's that? What are we talking about when we say that you are the daughter of somebody or that you are the sister of somebody? What is that? What do we call that? What is that? Okay, Timothy? Sounds like you're in a noisy place. Okay, Juliet, go ahead.
Related.
You are related. Okay, right. So a connection is a kind of relationship. All right. So let's just peruse this a little bit. Let's work on this concept a little bit. So connected means linked, joined, related, attached. Okay. Those are the kinds of things that we're talking about when we're talking about a connection. Okay. So having a connection means having a relationship. It means involving a link between two things. It can be physical or it can be non-physical, right? So right now we're all connected Yeah, in some ways it is physical, because my voice is being transmitted through the medium of the internet and through your speakers, and so there is a physical connection there. It's not the same thing as physical touch, but we're connected through this communication medium. But so sometimes it's not physical though, right? So sometimes it can be an emotional connection, or it can be an intellectual connection, or it can be a hereditary connection. The relationships between people are complex, right? All right, so connected. Involving a link between two things. Okay? Now, what does inter mean? Bria, put your hand down, please. Okay, now, new question. What does inter mean in front of a word? Micah.
Between.
Between. Okay. Give me some examples of the use of inter as a prefix and how that illustrates the meaning of inter. As part of a word. Micah, you want to get us started?
Sure. Inter. Interstate. Inter.
How about if you travel back to Israel from America, what kind of flight is that going to be? Inter. You know how you go to the airport and you have a certain kind of departures, Juliet?
International.
International, right? So international means between nations. If it's interstate, as you said, Micah, that's still within the country, right? But it's between two states. If you get on an intercity bus, you're not getting on a bus that's going to take you from one part of the city to the other part of the city. You're getting on a bus that's going to take you from the city to another city. So you're taking one that goes between cities. All right, international, interstate, intercity. Those are all pretty good geographical or physical uses of the prefix inter. Let's have some other ones. What are there other ways to use the word inter at the beginning of a word that illustrate the concept of the relationship that's indicated by inter? Inter what? What if I'm talking and you break the flow of my speech, Julia?
Well, that's interruption.
Okay. How does that use the concept between?
Well, you're interrupting somebody, so halfway through their talking, so you're connecting, sort of.
Well, in fact, what you are doing is you are breaking the connection, right? So you are inserting, to interrupt somebody, is to insert words between the words that they are trying to say. So that's where you get the between part, right? They are trying to make a continuous statement, and you break into it, and you go in between the parts of the communication that person is attempting. Interrupt. Okay, what else? International, intercity, interstate. We've got interrupt. Other words with inter. How about intervene? This is a concept that we are going to study today, not today, but this year in American history. Intervene. Timothy, I like yours, so let's go with yours. Interface. Raise your hand if you're able to talk, Timothy. But an interface, which is what I'm doing right now with my computer, my trackpad is a part of the interface. What does that mean? What's the between thing going on there? Why do we use inter in the concept interface, Alexander?
It's your trackpad is the thing that goes between your hands moving and the cursor moving on your screen. It's the it translates your hand movements into the cursor movements.
Indeed, and more broadly, the interface is the connection between me and my computer. The keyboard is part of the interface. The display is part of the interface, right? The pad is part of the interface. Those are between me and the computer. That's the between part. Okay, let's one last one, intervene. If America intervenes in a dispute between two other countries, or between two groups of people within a country. What does it mean to say to intervene? I think it literally comes from the Latin venire, which means to come, to arrive between. So you got two people, they're having a dispute, whatever, right? And America is a country that does this now. Doesn't necessarily break it up, but it intervenes. It inserts itself between the other two. That's intervention. Okay. So Bria says there are 600 words that start with inter. Well, I'm not surprised. Why? Because the prefix inter indicates relationships. It indicates connections. And what we do when we think is we make connections. We interrelate. We try to make connections. That's what we do when we think. So I'm not surprised that inter features in a lot of concepts that we use. But here's the thing that I want to notice. No. All right, but there's 600, so we're going to have to stop here. Now that you've got your mind tuned to the meaning of inter, which is between, here's something a little curious about the concept interconnected. Inter means between. What does connected means? It means involving a link between things. So interconnected is a very strange word. It is a repetitive concept in a sense. It's a concept that overemphasizes something. What is the thing that appears twice inside the concept interconnected? Connected means between things, and some involving between, and inter means between two. So when you say interconnected, what you're saying is between. That's what interconnected means. It means involving a high degree of betweenness. You're not just connected. If you're just connected, that's one link. Right? If you are playing Lego, my son was in the lower class. Well, you guys remember Lego. You might still play Lego. I still play Lego. Right? If you connect two pieces, you push them together, right? They become connected. How do you make a Lego construction stronger? What do you have to do? Rather than just have two pieces connected to each other, what do you have to do to make a Lego connection, a Lego construction stronger? Alexander.
Connect more pieces, and especially try to connect one piece to more than one.
Yeah, bring in other pieces. Increase the number of connections between pieces. Make them connected by means of other pieces. Right? So that means make them interconnected. Increase the number of connections. And then they become really solidly connected. They become multiply connected. The links between them are more than one. They're multiple, and the more they are and the more complex they are, the stronger the construction is going to be. Well, that's the kind of world that we live in. We live in an interconnected world. Herodotus was living in a world that was just starting to become connected. And there weren't a lot of connections. And when the Persians were coming to Greece, they said, we're going to make a connection. And basically what they said to the Greeks was, we are going to rule you. That's going to be our connection. And then the Greeks said, no thanks. And, well, okay. One person wants one kind of connection, another person doesn't want that connection. Well, entire countries that are arguing about the connections between them, well, that's what we call war. When it comes to blows, right? When it comes to violence on a large scale. So, but nowadays, we have interconnectivity in our world, meaning multiple and complex connectivity. Right? If we look at Micah's map, he's talking about parents and grandparents. So we have the connection of family. He's talking about a place where his dad went. We have the connection of travel. We have, my plates are made in China. The shorts I'm wearing were made in Switzerland. What's that connection? A connection whereby people buy and sell goods with each other. What do we call that? It's that connection, of which we have so much in the world today. What's one word for that? Buying and selling. Ashton, please.
Buying and selling?
Yeah, but you typed it. You typed it. What's the one word?
Trading.
Trade. Yeah, trade or commerce, right? That's a connection between people. You make something and you sell it to somebody else in another country? Well, you're becoming connected to each other. They're going to send you money. You're going to send them the goods. So, yeah, you're connected to each other by means of money, by means of the postal service, by means of the technology that allows you to have a marketplace where you could be, where you could buy and sell, right? The connections are incredible. Like, Amazon is an amazing interconnection system, right? No matter what you want to buy, you can type it in on Amazon. All of a sudden, you become connected to sellers of goods of just about any kind. It is unbelievable. Amazon is one of the greatest wonders in the history of the world. The amount of stuff you can buy. You know what? I buy a product. I buy an amazing product. I buy a product that's very good for your health. It's called fermented cod liver oil. Now, this is just an astounding fact that I can do that, that I can buy this product, right, using the internet. And so it comes from fish that were caught in the wild in the North Atlantic, and then they're processed in a plant, and the liver oil is extracted, and then it's fermented, which means that very helpful bacteria are allowed to grow, and that is really good for your health. If you eat things like cheese, if you eat things like yogurt, if you eat things that are fermented, they're very good for your health. What's another? Sauerkraut is another good example. Kimchi, things like that. So yeah, anyway. So yeah, I buy this product. Now, I couldn't possibly make this product. And nobody around me, anywhere close to me, has this product. But because of this interconnected trading network that I exist inside of, that I get to take advantage of, I get to get this product. And I'm a healthier person because of it. All right. So interconnectivity. Well, let's see. How much time do we have for further interconnectivity? We'll see what we can do here. And we're going to have to take this. I might not have time for all of it. So let's close this one down. Thank you very much, Herodotus. This one, I don't know if we're going to have time to discuss this too much. This is part of the interconnectivity of our world. I'm going to put a link to this on the class webpage because it's an awesome webpage. It is a really amazing webpage. What it shows us is the places, the 10 most popular countries where people have come from in order to go to another country. So when the last census was taken of the American population, this was a census that said, well, these are the places where people have come from in order to be here. And so in the past, I don't know, and for this population of 300 million, who was born in another place? Whose parents were born in another place and had come here? So evidently, people in the United States most of them come from the United States, of course, and have lived there and so on, right? But a lot of them have come from Mexico. Second would be the Philippines. Fascinating things that I didn't know, right? Then after that, Puerto Rico. Then after that, Germany. Every year, a million people, or no, not every year, but at that point of 300 million, a million were from India, a million were from China, a million were from Vietnam. That's amazing. Those are more than people were from Canada. So you can go on this map and you can do all kinds of things. Like you can go and you can say, well, who goes to live in India? Oh, people from Bangladesh go to live in India. People from Pakistan go there. Not very many people go to India, right? They're only people from the surrounding neighborhood who goes to a place like Iraq. Huh. People from India go to Iraq. That's interesting. People from Afghanistan, people from Russia go there and want to live there. How does that happen? How fascinating about this world that we live in. Right? And so on. You can go to any country on the map and find out where do people come from in order to go live there. And then you can also go departures. Where do people go from the place where they are living to go live elsewhere? People from Mexico are pretty amazing. They go everywhere. People from Mexico go to Russia and live there. This is a fascinating thing. This map, I could be on this map for hours. So I'll put a link to this, which shows us, it's amazing because here we have, you know, the people that are, this is where Americans leave to go live. And this is where Americans arrive from in order to live in America. So this is interconnectivity. They come from some places, they go to other places. This is just, it's an amazing map. So there's another degree of interconnectivity. And here's my favorite one for interconnectivity today. A map of 24 hours of air travel around the world in 1 minute. Are you ready? Animated, right? YouTube. I will put a link to this on the class webpage as well. So the dark part is the nighttime, and the light part is the daytime, right? So watch as the world travels in 1 day. All of the airplanes flying around the world in 1 day. Here we go. There we go. Everybody's getting on the plane. It's getting to be nighttime in America. There's starting to be less and less planes. The darker it gets, early in the morning, there's fewer and fewer people flying, whereas Europe is waking up, and look what happens. Boom! Everybody in Europe starts to get on a plane. Nobody in America is on a plane, right, at 4 a.m. But then, all of a sudden, morning arrives. The planes start to take off. Planes start to leave Europe to go to America. Well, look at this explosion of air travel as the light travels across. And inter-Atlantic flights. Flights come in from Russia. They come in from Japan. There's Hawaii getting all of its flights. My gosh, what an amazing... I love this YouTube video. 24 hours of human interconnectivity animated into a quick sequence of video. That is the kind of world that we live in. Absolutely astounding. It's never been like this before. I mean, it's been happening for quite a while that we've reached this degree of globalization, but it's never been as great as it is. I think that I don't know if we've peaked yet, because in some ways globalization might be reversing. But I think we still might be technically ongoing, and becoming more and more connected to each other, rather than less and less connected to each other. So we'll have to see. That's going to be a really important thing for us to think about in our course, is how is our world changing? Are we becoming more and more connected to each other, or less and less? And what are those connections? And therefore, how is that going to affect our lives? So on that note, you guys in this class have an extra interconnectivity and globalization homework assignment. So your first homework assignment was to take the map of the world and survey your personal life and say, here are connections that I can find to me. That was your first assignment. But history is about going beyond that. History is about reimagining yourself to be in a place that is more complex than you first realized. It's about reaching out and inquiring, as Herodotus taught us to do, to find out more information about this mysterious place that we are, to learn as much as we can about it. So that's what your next assignment is about. It's about discovering the connections to your world that you, at this point, might not be quite aware of. So how are we going to do it? Well, your assignment is going to be to go to any of the top news sites in the world. Pick one. I don't care which. So what I did was I went online and I Googled top news websites in the world. And so I got this website that tracks these global traffic rankings on the internet. It's pretty fascinating to see. It turns out that Yahoo News is the most visited news site in the world. I had no idea. Google News, not far behind. Another thing called Huffington Post. And then the ones that I was thinking of, CNN and New York Times and Fox and NBC. And so these are the top news sites in the world. And so what I want you guys to do is I want you to pick one. I don't care which. I'm going to go to Yahoo News right now. Okay. And close the ads down. We are connected to each other through advertising, that's for sure. But go to the webpage, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to survey the webpage until you find 10 locations that are presented on the front page, not some back page, not some small link that's not supposed to matter. What's supposed to go on the front page of a newspaper, or nowadays we don't really read newspapers anymore. What goes on the home page of a news website? What's the standard for selecting the information that's supposed to go there? Timothy, Alexander, they know which one I'm looking for here. Alexander?
Stuff that's important to a lot of people, or it seems really interesting, and so lots of people are going to click on it, and so they're
going to
get lots of advertising.
Yeah, all right. So important in different ways, and that was a very nuanced answer. So anyway, but important. That's the standard. Journalists are supposed to tell us what's in the world that could matter to us, that could possibly matter. What is important out there? Okay, so you go to Yahoo News, and Yahoo will tell you, well, here's what's going on in the world that's important. Well, this has something to do with America. This, I think, has something to do with America. Now, wait a minute. This article right here says a word called Benghazi. If you don't think that's American, what should you do? Now, you might not know the location, but you should query it. You should Google it, right? Hit the old Google and say, Benghazi, what's that? Okay, Benghazi, city in Libya. Oh my gosh. Okay, Benghazi, Libya. That's in the news? Americans are supposed to be concerned with that? Where is that? Benghazi, Libya. Let me go to the map of the world and let me learn what that is. All right, then I'll zoom out. Let's see, how do I zoom out? There we go. Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Whoa! Oh my gosh. Okay. One of the things on my news feed has to do with a place called Libya. So I want you to draw Libya. I want you to color Libya on your gray map. And I want you to tell me in a very, very brief phrase what's going on. What is going on? What's supposedly happening? Okay, you'll have to glean it from the article or glean it from the headline. You don't have to read the whole article. I don't want to give you a really tedious job of learning everything that's going on out there. But I do want you to see by means of this exercise, what is considered to be important in your world and what you are going to see. We're going to do this on a new map, because I don't want the maps to be cluttered. The goal of this is going to be to find out what about the world is supposedly important. Oh, European football giants, supposedly. Australia satisfied on India's nuclear safeguards. Oh my gosh. Okay, so you're going to put Australia on your map, and you're going to put India on your map. Are these important things? Apparently they are, because they have to do with nuclear power and nuclear technology. So that's probably an important fact, right? So this is what Yahoo News is telling you. Japan and India vow to boost defense ties. Oh my gosh, India again? Is India an important place in the world? It's showing up on the Yahoo News, the most visited news website in the world. It's showing up multiple times. What's happening here? And so on and so forth. Australia again. Okay. Barcelona, Russia. So, look around. And once again, your job is going to be to find 10 places in the world and give me a very brief statement, very brief, a sentence or less. It could be a phrase, okay, but a sentence or less of what's going on there. That's it. And then the one other thing I want from you is this something that has any connection to you? Nobody can tell you that, and I don't want you to give me the answer that you think I want. I want you to give me the answer that you actually feel, which means if you are hearing about a place called Benghazi for the first time in your life and you could care less, then that's what you write. You say, I don't know anything about this. Mr. Powell, this is the first time I ever looked at anything like that. Or if you look on the webpage and you find news of what's going on in Israel and you are from Israel and you're worried about it, that's what you write. Okay, so if you're from Israel but you're not worried about it, well, okay, you can tell me that too. So there's two dimensions to this. There's the inquiring about the world. There's the looking out into the world and thinking more about it, seeing what's out there through the news. And then there's the questioning of yourself and asking yourself, do I care? I don't know. Does this matter to me? Maybe, maybe not. There's no right answer there. So one thing that's really important is I don't want you to feel bad if you're thinking, I don't care about this stuff. You know, what's the deal? It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to my swimming lesson today. And maybe that's the answer. Okay? Because if you're in that typical tween slash teen kind of a world and a life, the truth is probably most of the stuff you're going to encounter on the news webpage, you don't care about, and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? So I don't want you to feel like you should have one. That is not the point of the exercise. The point of the exercise is to show you that in the news, the whole world presents itself. And when you're going to get to that stage of your life where you're an independent adult and you've got to make your way through the world, guess what? The whole thing is going to be in front of you. You won't have a choice about that because you can't go to a news web page and say, I don't want to know about the world. I only want to know about my neighborhood. Can't do that. You can't make that choice. I don't want to know about the world. So you're going to encounter a world that is interconnected. That is multiply and complexly connected on a global scale. That's the theme of our entire, you know, first set of lectures here. That's the kind of world that we want to understand. We want to understand it because America, we're studying American history, America puts its nose everywhere. Trying to be gentle about that, but it sticks its nose in everybody's business. America intervenes everywhere. America is connected to everything in so many different ways. So you don't have a choice because the country you lived in has made the connections. Whether you want them or not, they exist. So if we're going to study American history, that's part of what we're trying to find out is how come we live in such a world? How come we live in such a world that's so completely interconnected where America has its tentacles spread out, connecting to everything, bringing the world to you? All of its problems and all of its progress, they all come to your doorstep and you won't have a choice about that. That's what we want to try to understand. Okay, that is the half hour mark. So I don't want to say too much more. But that is the basic theme. I will send out a homework handout, as I have in the past. I'll send it out by email, and I will put it on the class webpage just as a reminder. And I would like you guys to try to do this in the next 2 days. I don't want to make it due tomorrow, but I'd like to try to make it due Wednesday. Okay? So basically it means go on the internet today or tomorrow, one or the other, and find out 10 places in the world that are on the top news channels, and what's happening there. And that's it. Send me the map. And yes, Declan, I will definitely be sending the email to you guys shortly. Okay? Okay, so, you know what? Just for the sake of clarity, I'm going to do something else here. I'm going to go to the world map, and I'm going to bring one up. Okay, I'm going to show you what I mean, right, with the Benghazi example. Okay, right? So what I would do with this is, actually, I'm going to open it up in another application. Let's see if I can do that. So I'm going to open it up in Paintbrush. Here's what I want you guys to do. I'll give you an example of it. Did I click on that or not? I think I missed it. Click. Okay, there's Paintbrush. I'm going to open up the gray map. There we go. Okay, and I'm going to say, all right, I found Benghazi, Libya on my news feed at Yahoo. So I'm going to go back to Firefox, and I'm going to say, Republicans telling them Benghazi Tong has elections near. Okay, so something's going on. You might not know who they are. This doesn't seem to explain it either. What's going on? All right, this gets tedious. I understand some of it's going to get tedious. Okay, read. Oh, there were terrorist attacks there in 2012. All right, we finally got there. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to my program, and I'm going to say terrorist attacks in 2012. All right. There we go. That is the beginning of my map for the Yahoo News feed of the day. Then I go back to my main page and I scroll down here, and this is Florida, so it doesn't count. And well, I see Australia satisfied on India's nuclear safeguards. Okay, so there's my next article, and it says there's a safeguard to allow the export of uranium to the nuclear armed nation. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to go to my map. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to color in, choose some new colors. So this one is India and Australia. Right? They are linked. And I'm going to say, this is a news item, so in this case it was right now, right? So I mean, Australia, I want this to be black text. Let's say Australia trades nuclear goods with India. Place. Bam. All right, so now I'm starting to get this world picture of the things that are important out there, right? There's two of them, and I'm looking for 10, but no more than 10. Okay, so you're going to just continue to do that. And you can find European football / soccer. You can find Japan and India pretty quickly, right? You will find a whole bunch of global things. You might look over here, Islamic militants over here, Oh my goodness, you'll find Russia down here. You'll find another thing with soccer. You'll find Mexico. You'll find what else? I mean, this is the front page. Fidel Castro of Cuba. You will find Syria. What is all this doing on the news? Modi, who's the Prime Minister of India. What's he doing on the news? And so on. Japanese researchers. Oh my gosh. London, England. Tunneling for more. Whatever. Okay. Get the point? It comes back to this. You make a new map. And you send it to me. Got it? Final thoughts or questions? Okay, go and inquire into the world of interconnectivity. Good luck. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.